Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of First Congregational Church, I'd like to welcome you here this morning. First Congregational Church is an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Honestly, I have never served a congregation that is more open and affirming than this one, and not just limited to gender orientation, expression, identity, but the whole realm of everybody. It's wonderful to have you all here. I have some announcements, surprisingly. You might notice on that slide and in the bulletin that I have asked that my pronouns be displayed, which are he and him. And I do that, it's been on my Zoom thing forever, and the reason I asked for it to be here and in the bulletin and in common use is an act of hospitality, so that everybody knows that they are welcome, in my presence, they are welcome to choose the pronouns that they feel express themselves the best. And not only is it an act of hospitality, it's an act of respecting somebody's God-given dignity by using the pronouns that they choose and the identity that they have chosen for themselves. You can go to the next. It's wonderful to welcome Reverend Emma Brewer Wallen to our worship service this morning. Reverend Emma is the Minister for Environmental and Economic Justice of the United Church of Christ. Sarah Lynn and Reverend Emma have been working for a year and a half or so to orchestrate Reverend Emma's presence with us this morning. COVID, Lent, you get the idea. Blah, blah, blah. We will be lighting the Advent wreath in a couple of moments. So those of you who are at home, I invite you to get two candles so that you may join us in that ritual. We will also, for those at home, be celebrating communion a bit later in the worship service. And so I invite you to get something for bread and something as a drink so that you can join us through the Spirit in that sacrament. I don't see Robin. Anyway, it says nominations, Robin. They're looking for lots of people. So please see Robin or some other member of the coordinating council if you would like to serve in that way. Prayer requests can be sent to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. You could write a prayer request or a joy or a celebration on an index card that you could find in your pew, or you could text it to my phone, which is 978-790-8250. Use any of those methods before the prayer and your prayer requests will be included. You'll notice a young disciple already over there at the pray ground. Anybody of any age, please feel free to go over. There's lots of cool stuff. And Reverend Emma will be meeting with those that are concerned and involved in environmental ministry. I was very pleased when Reverend Emma and I were talking. She said, I want them to show up ready to work. Right? She wasn't going to do some sort of PBS documentary, but show up and be ready to work. Next, Judy, do you want to say something?
Hello, all you muggles and wizards and magical creatures that the Lord has made. Welcome to First Congregational Church. I'm Judy Dixon from the welcome team, she, her. And I'm here to remind you of three things. Sunday, December 18th, we're going to have our live performance of the Nativity, Mary Potter and the Manger of Magnificence. We are going to have breakfast to lure you in early and sustain you through the excitement of the performance. Breakfast starts at 9:30, and we are challenging everyone in our FCC community to invite at least two other households, individuals, couples to join us in the festivities, the food, the fun that only we know happens FCC style right here. Last week, we had physical flyers that you can add your personal invitation to if it helps to have something in hand or in mail to extend that invitation. And this week, I'll be at the back, and Janine Keaty will be at the side with those if you did not get a chance to take one. And also this week, Dee Dee will be putting this up on our Facebook feed. If you're not following us, really, who are you? Make sure you're following us, and then we're asking you to share it to your personal page. Don't disappoint me. I'm a Facebook lurker. I will be checking to see if you shared it. Contain your excitement. It's just a few more weeks, okay? Thank you so much.
I'm sure you've been told this before, Judy. You need to come out of your shell a bit. Also in the bulletin, you'll notice that I make reference to a lectionary that was written by the Reverend Dr. Wilda Gaffney, and I'll be using that lectionary this year as opposed to the Revised Common Lectionary. We could talk more about that if you'd like. And so in addition to using that lectionary, I'm also gonna begin each worship service with a moment of centering by reading the psalm that is appointed in her lectionary and translated by her from the Hebrew. So it's not a paraphrase. You know, she didn't take what is already done and make nice words. She did the actual translation work. So let's center ourselves. Grant me mercy, God, grant me mercy, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings will I seek refuge until destruction has passed over. I will call upon the Most High God, God who does right by me. She will send from the heavens and save me. She will rebuke those who trample upon me. God will send forth her love and her faithfulness. In the midst of lions that devour the woman born, my soul reclines. Their teeth are spears and arrows, their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have set a trap for my feet. My soul was brought low. They have dug a pit before me, but have fallen into it themselves. My heart is firmly fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing praises. Awake, O my glory. Awake, O lute and harp. I myself will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you among the peoples, faithful one. I will sing praise to you among the nations, for your faithful love is greater than the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. Amen.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Days are getting darker.
Who will come to give us light?
The voice of the prophet cries in the wilderness of our lives.
Is this prophet the one who brings the light?
This prophet brings witness to the light, which is coming for all people.
Praise be to God, who has heard our cries.
What will the faithful one do with us in the wilderness? Please rise in body or spirit for hymn number 113, Isaiah the Prophet Has Written of Old. You may be seated.
Here they come.
We gather around the Advent tree to be reminded of hope, relief, lost joy, and love unchosen in our world and our time, and to claim that this symbol symbolizes a light more true, more powerful,
Please join me for the opening prayer as we say together, Faithful One of darkness and of light, come to us this day in the midst of our growing darkness, bringing the hope of hope to our lives. Keep our hearts and minds alert to your presence. Give peace to our stressed spirits. In this season of Advent, prepare us to greet the one who will lift our burdens and change our lives forever. Amen. God comes. Let us prepare the way. God comes to restore us, forgive us, and make us whole. Let us prepare our hearts for God's work to be done as we confess before God and each other, first in silent prayer. Please join me in the prayer of confession. December is upon us, Most High, and we are on the greased slide to Christmas. Time seems to get away from us, and we get trapped in the buy, wrap, send syndrome. Most High, we confess that it is easy to get involved in all these opportunities and stresses that come our way. Forgive us when we put our faith on a back burner and focus instead on pressures in our lives. Help us to take time to see your beam of direction, which shines on our path, leading us to peace and hope. Clear our spirits of the frustrations and anxieties of this season, so that the light which you are sending into the world will truly shine in and through us to others. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, our hope and our light. Amen. Children of God, disciples of Christ, siblings, God, hear the good news. God speaks to you. I love you. I forgive you. I restore you to new life. Remember that God comes to comfort us, not condemn, to speak tenderly to us of hope, joy, and love. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us take a moment to share the peace of Christ with each other.
Solo. That's the scene, solo.
When you...
The white is wine, and the red is rich. So, come forward, take it.
Thank you. the young people can head off to godly play and connect. By now, you must be familiar with Paul's words to the Corinthians. It's not that you ought to give and leave yourselves in hardship, but there should be a fair balance. Your surplus at present may fill their deficit, and at another time, their surplus may fill your deficit. It's about money, of course, but it spans so many more things. Emotions, service, things that we have deficits for. I invite you to make your offerings by putting it in the plates at either door, sending it to the church, or going online to firstchurchnatick.org and making your donation that way. Would you please rise in body or spirit for the song of praise? Let us pray together. We pray, Holy God, that our gifts might smooth the path of those who walk in grief, surround the grieving with comfort, feed the hungry, and bring others into places of peace and safety. Amen. Please be seated.
Grace to you and peace. I bring greetings on behalf of the Southern New England Conference of the United Church of Christ, and it is good to be in worship with you this morning. I praise God for the many faithful ministries taking place here, and I express my gratitude to you for your financial contributions that help make the ministries of the conference possible. This morning's scripture reading is Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and it's the translation by Wilda Gaffney. In those days, John the Baptizer appeared, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the realm of the heavens is near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Most High, make God's paths straight." Now John had for his clothing camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the women and men of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and the whole region of the Jordan, and they were baptized in the river Jordan by him, confessing their sins. Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Inspire our hearts and our minds and our souls in following your way. Come, be with us now, for if you are not with us, nothing else matters. And since you are with us, nothing else matters. Amen. If I asked you where your wilderness is, how would you respond? I imagine that you might have a favorite place in nature, a park or hiking trail or fishing spot or campground where you can hear the birds sing. Perhaps in this place you can't see a car or a built structure. Perhaps in this place you can't even see another person. I hope you have such a place where you can connect with God and God's creation. I hope you have a place where you can set aside the demands of everyday life and perhaps leave your screens at home. I hope you have a place that invites you to slow down and notice the little things, dewdrops on a spider's web, ripples on the surface of an otherwise calm pond, an interesting rock formation. I hope you have a place that invites you to slow down and notice the big things, the crash of waves, a breathtaking sunset, a huge gust of wind. These kinds of connections to the natural world, what I tend to call God's creation, is instrumental not only in our sustenance for fighting climate change, but also in our ability to be a well and whole person. But these spots of nature, be they as close as our backyards or as far as a once-in-a-lifetime trip, are they wilderness? To answer that question, we must first ask another one. What is wilderness? Sometimes we associate wilderness with emptiness. The word can give us a sense that there is only nature here, no people. This is the logic that enabled our European ancestors, the settlers upon these shores, to assume that the continent they ran into was available for their taking. This racist way of thinking is wrong. This land was not empty when Europeans arrived, but this land in particular was in fact where the Nipmuc, Pawtucket, and Massachusetts people lived and still live. And the idea that wilderness is a land without people also suggests that the land is empty because it is available, ready, waiting for human, European use. This logic persisted not only in the initial settlement of the eastern coast of what we now call the United States, but also in the westward expansion of this nation. This logic continues whenever we gaze upon a stretch of the natural world, whether in the form of forest or prairie or mountain or stream or desert, and see it as something to be bought and sold. This logic continues when we try to segment off wilderness areas for preservation, but turn a blind eye to harm in other places, as if all of life were not interconnected. If wilderness is not an empty place without human flourishing, then what is it? We might also associate wilderness with its component word wild, as in out of control, like kids running wild. This kind of wild has a counterintuitive connection with things that are unnatural. Kids running and screaming is, of course, normal and natural for kids to do, and yet somehow we say that they are wild as if we expect something else. The term wild can refer to those things that are out of control, or maybe those things we wish to have control over. Wild is also a term that has been applied to indigenous people as a racist critique of their cultures, languages, ways of dressing, spiritualities, and so much more. This description justified violence in a variety of forms, including forced conversion to Christianity and stealing and abusing indigenous women and children. Though painful to hear, these truths demand our attention. If you are unfamiliar with these historic and ongoing traumas, I encourage you to learn more from organizations such as the Sovereign Bodies Institute and the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition. If the wilderness is not a place incorrectly assumed to be without human life, if it is not a place full of untapped natural resources, if it is not something totally out of hand and needing our control, then what is it? What does it mean for John the Baptizer to be in the wilderness? I think the fact that wilderness is the setting for today's scripture passage helps us understand what it means. Wilderness is the place where we hear God's voice. Wilderness is the place where we are called to make public our commitment to the way of God. Wilderness is the place where we turn around, where we change our ways from those that harm ourselves and others, and instead take up those that are full of life. Today's passage from Matthew, describing John the Baptizer as a voice calling out in the wilderness, is familiar, but reading it in the context of environmental harm makes me wonder. What does it mean for every valley to be filled? What does it mean for every mountain and hill to be made low? This poetry presents a powerful image of the radical change God brings, but does God really want us to fundamentally alter God's creation? Every mountain made low sounds uncomfortably similar to blowing off the tops of Appalachian mountains, revealing coal previously buried deep beneath the surface, in order to keep our energy supply steady amidst ever-increasing demands. Filling every valley sounds uncomfortably similar to watersheds crisscrossed with oil pipelines and forests clear-cut. Making the rough places plain sounds uncomfortably similar to our insatiable desire for products that can be delivered around the world at lightning speed. So I wonder, does God really want us to harm God's creation, whether in the form of plants, animals, and landscapes, or in the form of human communities, especially those who are already poor and undervalued, all for the sake of our convenience? Does God really demand these changes for the sake of what is easy and quick? My experience of God suggests a resounding no. The God I know created us for healing, not for harm, even though that pathway is rarely easy or quick. To worship is to honor, to esteem, to value highly. Painful though it is to admit, climate change and racism reveal to us what we actually worship. Racism in its myriad forms reveals to us that we worship whiteness and white supremacy, if not a worship of individual white people, then a love of things being orderly and perfect, and a comfort with the status quo. Climate change and environmental devastation in their various forms reveal to us that we worship things, more and more things. We worship what is easy over what takes time. We worship our own comfort and efficiency, rather than recognizing that someone is still responsible for cleaning up our messes and taking care of our needs, even if those people and the harm that too often comes to them is out of our line of sight. At closer look, the words of John the Baptizer make clear who he is calling us to worship. John the Baptizer is not asking us to worship our own comfort or convenience. When he quotes the prophet Isaiah, we hear, unsurprisingly, a call to return to God. Clear in the desert a road for the Lord. Level in the wilderness a highway for our God. Let every valley be raised, every hill and mountain made low. Let the rugged ground become level, and the ridges become a plain. The presence of the Lord shall appear, and all flesh as one shall behold. In other words, these alterations to the desert and the wilderness are not for our sake, but for God's. The tectonic adjustments to mountains and valleys are not for our comfort or convenience. They are a metaphor describing the lengths to which we are called to go to ensure God's presence among us, to ensure that the good news is heard, to ensure that all people and places are treated as God's beloved creation. John the Baptizer is not offering a quick fix for our problems. He is not offering an easy path forward or one that will lead to comfort or wealth. What John the Baptizer is offering is transformation. He invites us to open our hearts to change, to be willing to hear how what we are doing hurts ourselves and others. He is offering us God's grace again and again. His invitation will allow us to hear over and over that we are God's beloved and that God will love us no matter what we do. John the Baptizer's invitation is to allow God's grace to inspire our commitment, that in hearing God's boundless love for us, we might more fully love others, ourselves, and all of God's creation. In our culture's popular understanding of John the Baptizer as a voice in the wilderness, we might think of the lonely life of a prophet. We might imagine a singular voice shouting into the emptiness, or one person fighting a crowd all moving in the same opposite direction. When we say that someone is a voice in the wilderness, we are using wilderness to mean emptiness. We are saying that they are alone and that no one is listening to what they have to say. Too often it is this sense of voice in the wilderness that we have in our heads when we imagine what it might be like to speak up about climate change and racism. We imagine that we would be the only person raising our voice and that there would be no one to listen, or if they were there, that they're all pushing the other way. But John the Baptizer is not alone. He has a crowd around him, and they are ready to commit themselves to the transformation of baptism. John's voice in the wilderness is not a singular voice echoing off the emptiness. John's wilderness is teeming with life, and it is full of people. The wilderness where John finds himself is a place where God is present, a place where God speaks to us. So when I ask you where your wilderness is, what I mean is this. Where do you hear the voice of God? Where do you go to feel God's loving presence? How do you make sure that what you hear is really of God? When I ask you where your wilderness is, what I mean is this. Where do you go to find a crowd? Who do you consider your community? Who are the people in your life like you? And who are the people unlike you? Who might you consider a voice of wisdom or courage? When I ask you where your wilderness is, what I mean is this. Where do you go for transformation? Where do you go to commit or commit anew to repentance? Where are you safe enough to make public the habits of your heart and mind that need to change? Who do you trust to hold you accountable? When I ask you where your wilderness is, I am not only asking each of you as individual people of faith, though I do hope you each have these places. When I ask you where your wilderness is, I am also asking about the wilderness for this church. How do you, First Congregational Church in Natick, listen for the voice of God in this time of climate crisis and environmental racism? How do you speak to and care for the crowd that is your wider community? How do you transform yourselves into stewards of this land and all its inhabitants? How are you, each of you, all of you, a voice crying out in the wilderness? To this table, for you are welcomed by a star that guides even those who feel lost. Thank you. Even those who feel distant from the oasis of church, and those who need someone to receive their gifts.
Come to this table, for you are welcomed by an innkeeper who recognizes that no room always means finding another kind of space, and who can do magic with life's leftovers to feed hungry, tired shepherds.
Come to this table, for you are welcomed by a manger. Friendly beasts in the story, cow, dove, donkey, lambs, any holy memory of a companion animal you've known.
On the Advent journey, we remember a family said yes. Mary, who would feed the child of God as we are fed by this sacrament, and Joseph, who loved her and built tables like this one for a whole town.
On the Advent journey, we remember Elizabeth, who sheltered Mary in a time of rejection, and Zechariah, who learned silence as they carried their own God-given child. We let communion nurture our hope and teach us love.
On the Advent journey, we remember the Magnificat, how Jesus lived that song and ministry, and the indiscriminate love of a Passover bread and cup for all. I'm doing the bread.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. We had this all figured out. Jesus was gathered with his disciples, his friends in that upper room, and he took a loaf of bread, and he broke the loaf, and he said to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you, for you, for you, for you."
And in the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. He gave God thanks for it, and he blessed it, and he said, "This is the blood of the renewed covenant, which is poured out for you and shared with all. Do this in remembrance of me." Word made flesh and gift divine, who offers us hope, peace, joy, and love all the year long, we pray for your spirit of starlight and gloria upon these gifts, which are ours and yours, even as our lives are yours and ours, today and always. Amen. In a moment, we will invite you to come forward through the center aisle to take a piece of bread and a cup. There are both alcoholic and non-alcohol versions. The white is wine and the red is juice. We also have a gluten-free option available here. Take the elements and then please return to your seats so that way we can all partake together. Come, for all things are now ready.
this gift is more precious than gold. Eat this bread and be rich inside.
This gift is poured out like myrrh. Drink this cup and know you are precious in God's sight. Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving as we say together, Gracious God, we give thanks for your messages that feel like angels, care that is like a shepherd, and the joy to the world in gathering around this table in this season of waiting. Strengthened by this meal, may we notice and care for all those who are rejected, unhoused, fleeing for their lives from danger without and within. As we go forth, O Holy One, may it truly be by another way. Amen.
I apologize both Reverend Emma and I had problems with our wireless microphone, so we're passing this back and forth. What joys, concerns, prayer requests, celebrations do people bring with them this morning that they would like held in prayer? Deb. Prayers for your cousin, Laurie, who was diagnosed with her brain cancer, and for your brother, Gary, Michael, whose ALS symptoms are worsening. Sarah Beth. For Maya, for courage and healing, patience. Oh, I'm sorry, Amy. Thank you for prayers for Amy's niece, Rebecca, who's living in Costa Rica, who is full with child, right, to use the biblical phrase, and has just contracted COVID. Jeanette. Dawn. Prayers of gratitude for your daughter's mother-in-law and for Dawn. Others. For Doug and Barbara Shirley, Karen's dad and stepfather, who are stepmother, who are both struggling with health issues, and prayers of thanksgiving. I'm sure Ken feels this about having Karen home from Kentucky. Would you please join your hearts with mine in prayer?
We have one prayer request from Sue Massioli.
I'm sorry,
simply
the Young family.
Prayers for Nick.
Prayers for Nick.
Yes.
And prayers for the Young family on the loss of their son, Jose. Thank you, Gil. Most High God, on this second Sunday of Advent, we have heard your servant crying out to us in the wilderness, the place that we hear God's voice. At times, it is in our own self that cries out to us in the wilderness. At times, it is our community crying out to us in the wilderness, a place that we turn around. At times, it is the planet and all of creation crying out to us in the wilderness. We have heard the call of John the Baptizer, the call to repentance and restoration, and we want to respond. We know you forgive our shortcomings and heal our brokenness, and we long to hear your mercy spoken upon us. We hear that Jesus will baptize with water, the Holy Spirit and fire, and cleanse us and make us new. We hear that you are ushering in a reign of peace, and we want to work to bring about your realm among us. Faithful one, our brokenness is for all to see, but your mercy is great. Our vision is dim, but your coming is at hand. Our hope is lukewarm, but your promises stand forever. Faithful one, our world stands in need of you. Everywhere we look, we see need of you for your coming, your restoration, your peace, your transformation. On this second Sunday of Advent, O Holy One, we pray for Reverend Emma and ask that you bless them in their ministry today and in the seasons to come. We pray for the nations and their leaders, that they will govern in ways that are pleasing to you. We pray for the staff of the Southern New England Conference of the United Church of Christ, and pledge ourselves to covenant with them in ministry. We pray for the poor, the hungry, the needy, for our siblings who find themselves in the wilderness in this time in their lives. We pray for those who are spiritually hungry and poor in spirit. May they come to know the living water and to drink deeply from your well. We pray for those who face Christmas alone, sick, unhoused, living in poverty, or under the oppression of powers we simply can't imagine. Jesus Christ, from true light, be a light in the darkness for all those we hold on our hearts. O Most High God, we pray these things as Jesus would have us. Jesus, our sibling, teacher, and guide. Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn? There's a voice in the wilderness.
As we go from this time and place, know that you are God's beloved. There is nowhere you can go where God is not. And may the love of God flow through you to all whose paths cross yours. Go in peace. Amen.